Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Ty Bubba Horowitz. It's Monday, April the 23rd. My goodness, how time flies when you're having fun. Tax season is over. Earnings season is in roll, and the markets are moderately weak. You know, we see a lot of things happening, but I think the story is that the 10-year is going over 3%. And it may not be there yet, but is it coming? And I guess the question will be, is how will that make the overall markets react? It looks like the key reversal in oil from last Thursday is holding. Gold looks like it's testing some huge support. And the grains look a little bit stronger, but not what you might think. So lots of stuff going on here, and you know, we'll see what it looks like. You know, we're at a key decision point in overall equities. You know, there's a lot that can be a big part of it now, and there's a lot of things that can happen, you know, as we look forward. So I think that, you know, again, we are at that decision point in the markets. Now, I think that, you know, we could go either way. I think the longer term, though, you know, let's say the next month or two, we're going to go lower. But that does not mean that we will not have a bounce into some resistance before then. I think there's just a whole bunch of stuff going on. And, you know, but you can see that what we've talked about for quite a while is the bonds are getting crushed, and you know they'll probably get a little bit of a bounce here as well. I would expect to see the 10 go over 3 and then come back below for a while, but to me it looks like they're going higher. I think that we'll see a lot of things going on here, and you know, there's just no reason to believe that the Fed will get it right. And there's no reason to believe that the markets won't, you know, continue on what this is. We'll say the new trend. I mean, we're certainly in a downtrend, you know, since January. And, you know, you get these vicious dead cat bounces. And, of course, you know, we cover that in the daily update every day. But, you know, in the meantime, there is not a lot to think that we would not see some more pressure on the market. And you know, over the weekend there was a lot of things that potentially could have, you know, happened. And I think when we look at the overall view here, that you know, we've got some issues. You know, again, earnings could end up being great, but have they not already been priced in the market? And I would say the answer is yes, they have already been priced in the market. I can't fathom any other way that we would see any different action, because to me, you've seen the action priced in, you've seen the markets react to some of these earnings, and I think you continue to see some pressure, you know, to the downside as we go. I don't see any other reason to believe anything different. You know, I think that, you know, we've seen, you know, we've got a big, huge week this week in earnings, starting with Google this afternoon. And we'll see what they look like. But again, in my view, we've already priced in, you know, all of this great news. And, you know, unless there's something else great to come out, I don't think you're going to see much more. And that's where, as they say, the rubber meets the road, and the market should look to be under some pressure. And, you know, when we look at this from that standpoint, it makes more clear sense that an overall, you know, a little bit of a sell-off should be a part of what's going to happen here. You know, it's there's only so much news that we can price, and there's only so much overpriced the market can get. And that's always the interesting point, is where is that spot where the market's overpriced? Well, we saw it, and now we've seen that it can't really reverse back, and looks like it wants to go back to the downside, you know, once again. And you know, again, it's this is not the easy short part was made on the initial rally, and of course now we turn around and look to see if we do indeed break out of this consolidation range and work our way, you know, back down to the downside. And you know, anytime you're looking at the market, I mean, again, the news itself is no big deal to me. The news itself, I could care less about. What we care about now is how does the market react to other things? And that's really, you know, the focus of what we should be thinking about now is where does the markets react in their next view and their next go around. And again, this is always something that we have to be focused on, you know, from a trading perspective. Okay. And, you know, you've seen, you know, some pressured things push the markets around a little bit. And, you know, I think you've got just a lot of reasons to believe that, as they say, lower prices, they are coming. And I don't think that there's any way to avoid the point that lower prices are indeed on their way. Because at the end of the day, the markets themselves are putting them into a situation that you can just see the footprints that are being left are saying that the markets are ready to turn over again. Again, it doesn't mean there won't be a rally here. I would not be surprised at all to see the markets rally up a little bit. But the pattern suggests that now rally should be sold. You know, we went from being able to potentially buy the dips, and now it looks like we have to go to the other side of the coin, which is to sell the rallies. And I think that's what you want to look for now, is for that opportunity. You know, as a trader, you know, as an investor, you close your eyes and you just say, okay, I understand that the market's going to go up over time, but to try to be involved, you know, moment to moment on an investment account is just silly. So we would expect to see a lot of pressure on oil this week. We would look to see, you know, possibly gold bounce up, you know, from this heavy support level. You know, this area looks like the new area of where gold has become, you know, from a footprint standpoint, we thought that 1330 was the new high. It was the new low. And the overnight low was 1328.90, which is well within range. And those are things that we have to look at, and those are things that we have to focus on, as always. And, you know, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. And in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and this is Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I want to remind you about our high school investing program. You know, it's highschoolinvesting.com. We provide a curriculum to high schools across the country. And if you'd like to help us out, you can go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And in the meantime, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. And we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be back with more and Jane King after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, we're coming right back to you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, the unbelievably talented Jane King, Lila Next Media, the Catching Report. What's up, Jane King?
Hey, Todd. Good morning. Just ready for summer to come and just, you know, continuing to watch Washington and all the circus is going on there.
Well, we're going to pass summer this year. We're going right in, we're going right into the election. Right? Summer is over.
I don't think we're going to have a spring, summer, or fall. I mean, it still feels like winter in New York. It's like 30 degrees wind chill.
The weather's like the politicians, all full of crap.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, can you imagine what's going on here? You're watching, obviously, the, I mean, first we do have to talk about the passing of Barbara Bush. I thought that was obviously very sad. I mean, a great woman and lived a full life. So you can't, mm-hmm. you can't be upset about that. And that professor from California, Carrara or whatever her name was, who said that she's a racist. Is that not idiotic?
You know, they're just kooks. I mean, they're just people who are kooks. I mean, and she's a kook. I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, Barbara Bush never said anything racist. I mean, yeah, it was actually kind of sad for me because I really feel like that was the first election I ever voted in was the elder Bush, you know, so it was kind of, it brought back some memories and kind of watching her, and she was funny. And I love the fact that she was like, you know, kept her hair gray, never worried about plastic surgery and just like did her own thing. So she was a really cool person.
And I thought the joke about her son was really pretty funny, too. I don't know if you caught that joke, that the reason George is the way he is because she's smoked and drank when she was pregnant.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But so, of course, we've still got the same issues. Now, what's your take on the potential meeting with North Korea? I mean, this is the first such potential meeting in I don't know, in history, I guess. I don't know. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, certainly in the past, 50 years or so. I mean, I think, look, I mean, if we're going to truly achieve peace and not worry about nuclear weapons and them launching them toward us or Guam, or we're going to have to, like, sit down and talk. And I think it's great that Pompeo went over there. Apparently, I mean, I know very little about this, just basically what's been reported, but had a meeting. The fact that they're even talking is hugely, is a huge progress. So I think this could be historic. Now, let's just see if Donald Trump gets the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, no chance.
If that happens, if he is responsible for North Korea backing down, or maybe even the Koreas reuniting or something, he would absolutely deserve that, and he won't get it.
There's no chance. Look, why is now? Let's. This is a very good question or a very good point. And why is Donald Trump the most hated guy? No, wait. Before you answer, okay, we know. Is he hated because he's pompous and because he, you know, people call him a narcissist and other names, and he is a little braggadocious, or do they hate him because he really represents true change? And really is putting a crimp in the style of the politicians in Washington on both sides of the aisle. It doesn't matter. You know, to me, you know that I don't like either side of the aisle. So I'm not, you know, McConnell's, I don't like. So I mean, he's on the right and the other on the left. I don't like either side. So is it because he is trying to really affect real change in the system, or is it because of who he is as a person?
Well, you know what, Todd? Good question. I mean, because, for example, like, and I've heard so many different, I live in New York, so I get an earful. But, you know, I heard somebody the other day say the only thing they like about him is that he's coming in and breaking glass and disrupting stuff. And I was like, okay, you know, this is a person who I think moderate, maybe slightly liberal person. They did say they thought he was a racist, so I do hear that a lot. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. I mean, the thing is, I don't think he is. I mean, he's crude in some of the things he says and could nuance that better. But I think he's just like, look, we're in a mess. This country's in a mess. We're in a financial mess. We're in a cultural mess. And he's just trying to straighten things out. I mean, we have gone on for decades with kind of lackluster rules. Maybe we follow them sometimes, maybe we don't. The immigration thing has been just anarchy. I know, and there's a report in the New York media this morning that MS-13 is threatening to kill police officers on Long Island. And, you know, those guys are here from illegal immigration. I mean, we have let this go on way too long. And so, you know, here comes Donald Trump kind of trying to straighten everything back up and get us back to kind of a law and order society, and one that's like watching our finances. And, you know, people just hate him for that. I honestly think like maybe it's just his personality. Just people just really don't like that about him. But I mean, I'm more concerned about, is he getting things done and changing things to set us on the right track for the next generation? So I don't know, but boy, people really dislike him.
Well, no, it's amazing. But what I really hate, Jane, about the whole system is since he was elected, we've been talking now about the 2018 elections. When is it going to be that we just do our job? Okay, when is it going to be that they just go out and do what they're supposed to do and not worry? Because all we see now is everybody's just worried about the next election. There's nothing to take care of. Let's take care of business today and let the elections fall where they may. But, of course, that's not what happens. And do you ever see that changing? Is there ever a way to change? I mean, the only way to change is to put term limits in, and that would be the end of it. But I don't think I don't see that happening.
You know, you and I have talked about that before. I mean, term limits are not a bad idea. I mean, I think that maybe what we need, in principle, kind of, you know, want people to kind of vote and whether somebody's doing a good job, but I don't think the American people can seem to pay attention enough to be able to make that choice, and they just vote for whoever they've heard of or don't vote at all. So you know, maybe that's the answer, is term limits. But you're right, and I mean, and it's just there's so many distractions, and there's so many, you know, the whole Pompeo thing for Secretary of State. It's like, come on. I mean, Rand Paul, like, you know, I just, you know, you have, nothing is ever perfect, and you have to kind of work things out and what's the best solution. And, you know, so it's just, there's just so much arguing and so much energy. I mean, it's just exhausting to watch. I can't even imagine being in Washington and being a part of it.
It's horrible. And of course, we had Comey's book come out this week. What is your take, not necessarily the book, but of what he wrote? And what's going on with the FBI, what they found out McCabe was lying and some other things. I mean, doesn't that really put a big crimp in your mind about what's going on out here?
Well, sure. I mean, it's, you know, the FBI reminds me of some of the big organizations that I've worked for, is that you get in this groupthink, everybody thinks alike, people become robots, and they don't think independently. You can't speak out, you can't have an opinion, you have to kind of toe the line. And it seems like that's what happened to the FBI. And by the way, Comey is like, so he's like, he's conflicted within himself. He's like, well, there's this, but there's this, and there's this, but there's this. And there's, I mean, you saw it. The most public thing was during the Hillary Clinton investigation. Well, we're not going to charge her. Well, we have new evidence. Well, you know, and it's like, dude, just, you know, make a decision. And I think that's showing up in his book too. I mean, I hope his media tour is about over, because he's on TV all the time.
I mean, it's just the whole system seems so bad. And this is what I think that everybody hates about Donald Trump, is he's taking a lot of the skeletons out of the closet and bringing it to the people. And if you remember, we go back, you know, years and years ago, you know, obviously there wasn't so much information, and they would find something on somebody. If you remember Spiro Agnew, right, they took him out. And of course, a lot of things happen, and we need to bring this stuff to the forefront, because this backroom crap has got to stop, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Oh, no, I totally agree. And that's why I can't, you asked me earlier why I think people hate him so much. I can't figure out why they hate him so much. I mean, people will, in New York, you'll be talking about Christmas shopping, and they'll work in an anti-Trump comment. I mean, just something totally irrelevant. I mean, you'll be at the grocery, and it's like, they can't stop. He's in their head. And, you know, it's just weird. Like, how people just bring this stuff up when you're talking about something totally unrelated. I don't know. Like, he's really impacted people. But I think, you know, he's got to clean things up. He's got to get people out who are lazy and the groupthink. And I'm surprised it's taken as long as it has. And some of the worst people who don't see it are the people in Washington, are right in the middle of it.
The words, according to Lila Max Media, Kitchering Reports, Jane King. Jane, as always, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Tom.
And don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. Of course, that is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And a reminder, tomorrow, on tomorrow's show, we will have Danielle DiMartino Booth from the Fed, who wrote the book Fed Up. So make sure that you're there tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern time. In the meantime, don't forget about the Daily Update, which comes out to you free every day. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and fill out your little form, and you will get the update sent to you free each and every day. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. With Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and myself, Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. And Matt, so again, you and I are in agreement on this whole banking system, and that it's really flawed and a lot of fallacies out there, which is really what causes more of the troubles in the markets. And I think that's starting to show up. You know, I think as you so wildly predicted that Bitcoin, and I'm going to use Bitcoin just because it's the easy one for everybody to understand. And you said Bitcoin would rally from somewhere in the high fives to low sixes. And sure enough, from the high fives, low sixes, here it is at almost 9,000 again. And certainly, you know, the space really looks great. And I think you said that you, with all of them, you would expect to see about $220 billion in market cap. And now we're back up to, I think, 360 or something about that. What do you say?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, no, I think it was our call on Easter Sunday, April 1st, that, you know, I said I thought we were bottoming out in the market and that I was a buyer. And that's what we were doing. We were buying the week up to that point and the week after. And now we're seeing, you know, a big move up. We bottomed out at about $243 billion in market cap. As of today, it's about $380 billion. So that's a you know, very big, you know, maybe my brain is foggy, but
no, it works.
That's about 60-70%.
It's a big move up. Now, I know that you've been kind of waiting for this. There's a big conference coming up in a few weeks here, and you felt that might be the trigger that even pushed them even higher. What is it about this conference that you think is going to help push these along, and what do you think is going to come out of the conference?
Well, there's always anticipation for these big conferences, what news will be released, because a lot of times they wait for the conferences to release news, these individual crypto projects. This new thing happened or whatever it is, they'll wait for the conference. And sometimes there's more hype going into it, and it's more of a sell on the news situation, unless the news happens to be, you know, better than expected. So this conference is the biggest one in the world for crypto. It's May 13th to the 16th. So we're about, I guess, about three and a half weeks away. I think there's a good chance we continue to rally into it. I do have a problem with, not a big one, but I have a problem with Bitcoin right here at just below 9,000, just at 9,000. I have a rising pivot line at 9,000, and it goes up by about $48 per day. So if we can, and that's starting today. So if you say, you know, when you hear this, 9,000, and then add 48 a day. If we pop above that, I don't see any real resistance, any serious resistance until the 14,000s, and that resistance is also rising. So I think we could have a lot more upside. That's just the technical view. To answer your question, what kind of news could we get? I mean, there's a lot of things we're waiting on. For example, in Ethereum, we want to see what's going on with they're going to move from proof of work to proof of stake. And proof of work, as everybody knows it, that's when you have to mine for your cryptos. When there's all these, you know, computers in a warehouse and they're running a bunch of electricity through and they're pumping out cryptos that way. That's the mining operations. That's proof of work. It's very energy intensive, and it doesn't need to be that way. And that's why most advanced projects are moving away from this energy intensive methodology, and they're moving towards proof of stake, which the way that works is that you own some Bitcoin, you own some Ethereum, and you stake it, and you say that you will not sell it, and you put it in a special wallet, a special account, and by virtue of that, you act as like a decentralized, not really a miner, but a validator. And if you follow the rules that are provided for a staking member, you basically can function as a miner. You can take over that role, and then there's no energy that is there's no waste in the system. It works a bit better. There are some drawbacks, and that was a long way of getting to the point that Ethereum has a protocol called Casper that will move it from a proof of work mining sort of operation to a proof of stake operation, where the mining goes away, and they're getting very close. So I wouldn't be surprised at this at the meeting for them to say something about how they're implementing Casper and when, you know.
Okay, so it sounds, you know, exciting. Again, I don't understand a lot of that, but I do know that from the crypto space that they're being much more accepted at many, many places, and which is just another sign that the cryptocurrency space is here to stay. And I think that obviously nothing is ever easy and goes in straight in one direction, and of course we've seen it, and you still have many out there, which we talked about earlier, about they claim it's a fraud, it's a scam. And in the meantime, you know, big companies are taking cryptocurrency as payment, which means that they accept it as real, which is like any other currency. And I think that's an issue. Now, I did read something over the weekend that WikiLeaks got their Coinbase account shut down. Did you hear about that?
No, I want to hear about that.
Well, I didn't get all the details about it, but they got shut down. Now, whether it's they're shut down because, people are getting worried about WikiLeaks and the way that they do business or whatever, but they were actually shut down. But they've also been, in the Texas State Security Board has uncovered like 50 illegal operations of cryptocurrencies, which is, again, things that we always have to worry about as investors in anything that you invest in, you know, because there are all kinds of Ponzi schemes that come out of nowhere from individuals that is going back in the beginning of history. That's not going to change, in my opinion, Matt, no matter what the product is. There's always going to be some sort of a scam, as we've seen since the beginning of time. And I think that's something that people just have to recognize, which goes back to your point that they have to do their research.
Yeah. As you say, going back through history, there are always, you know, scam artists. And, with the internet really is when that exploded, because now everybody's connected. So, you know, you get the emails from, you know, Nigerian princes that need, you know, you just send them X amount of dollars so they can get out of their country or whatever, make you a rich person. I mean, the number of scams, I mean, take a look at your spam, you know, inbox, your spam box for your email. It's full, you know, full of crap. And it's not really, it has nothing to do with crypto, you know, that crypto lends itself to scams. It's not the case. It's just the fact that being interconnected, and anybody out there that has, you know, a bad intention or just a bad idea can come up with, either a bad idea, a scam, or whatever it may be. The same thing is happening in crypto, but it's not specific to crypto. I think it's specific to, you know, just being more interconnected with the internet.
Well, I think it's a more perspective to just a scam, which is, again, you know, that we see it in everything that we do. It doesn't matter what it is. There's always a scam, and there's always somebody trying to figure out a way. I mean, as you and I both know, and I think we both agree, that the criminals are always well ahead of everybody else. And, you know, you can figure out that scheme. And, of course, what does it take to make a scheme? It takes a good story from the schemer, and it takes somebody who doesn't want to take the time to do their own research, which then creates the bigger problem. And I think that is something that we always have to be aware of, whether it be, you know, the next great hot stock deal or the next great cryptocurrency deal or whatever is coming down the pike. I mean, you know, we've seen this over and over again for hundreds and thousands of years. You know, somebody's always got a story. And of course, the not just Americans, people's willingness to do almost anything for that get rich quick scheme, all of a sudden they find a reason to get involved in something that they have no business getting involved in, and that they did not do their due diligence. You know, when I first took my first security exam, it was about due diligence, and that was one of the things you had to do. And that's, you know, about any of them being licensed and anything, it comes back down to due diligence. And I think that's one thing that people need to make sure they do, because there is nothing that is guaranteed to be safe. Even as we go back into some of these Forex brokers that were unregulated brokers, unlicensed exchanges. And if we go back just to the Swiss franc, when it had that huge move, I don't know, I can't, like 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was, and half these firms went out of business because they didn't have the money, and they wanted to abscond with the money. And because they were unlicensed and unregulated and had no reserves, they were able to do so. So again, it's in every walk of life. So Matt and I encourage you to A, make sure you do your own due diligence when it comes down to some of these products that you're looking at. Again, we're both believers in the crypto space, and Matt has done a lot of these special reports trying to make sure that he's helping to educate you on, you know, what's going on, which is, you can find those reports at CryptoInvestorX.com, because Matt is now a product out as well that, you know, that he is actually doing some recommending on some of the coins. So you can certainly look into his service as well. But that's at CryptoInvestorX.com. And this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demon or DemonResearch.com, and myself, Todd Bubba Horowitz at BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, don't forget to check out Bubba Trading and find out what we're doing over there for you at BubbaTrading.com. And also don't forget to download the show at LibertyTalk.fm. We're going to stop every break and be back with more from Matt Demeter after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. So, Matt, you know, we've seen, you know, what's going on in the crypto space, and we've seen what's going on in the equities. And, you know, when you look at the equity market, you know, you had said that you had some concerns, and we kind of reached up close to levels you were looking for. What was the resolve of that, and where do we stand going into this week?
Well, I've been looking at SPY, and that's just what I've favor looking at, because I get a little more data out of it. You get the, you know, the morning stuff, and you get the evening stuff, as opposed to just the S&P index itself. So when I refer to the prices, that's why I'm using SPY. You know, we got up to 271 and change, and then we pulled back. That was the right level to get to. It was the next level up for me. We did break some resistance to get there. I think on the way down here, we've gotten oversold in hourly indicators, so we could definitely, you know, could go either way. But basically, here's how I'm playing it. If we get above 269.30, roughly, we have a short position as a trading position. If we get above 269.30, we'll step out of that, and we may even go long, but I still have lower support that I think still wants to be hit, and that's down in the, you know, mid 250s. So right now it's at 253. It's rising by probably about 30 cents a day. I would be a happy buyer down there around 253, 254, 255.
All right, so about 6% lower.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's not chump change. So that's where I'd like to see us fall to. Like I said, we're a little bit oversold on hourly indicators, but that's just on a – that changes daily. We don't seem to be complete to the downside, so I would focus on being short unless we break above 269.30, in which case I would throw in the towel on trying to be short for right now. I mean, I think we get a rally out of it, and then you know there'll be another spot to short.
No, and I agree. I mean, I think we're going lower here, but again, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it was very close to a turnaround and maybe breaking that downtrend thing. I think we've got some more room to go on the downside. I mean, I personally think we test the lows and then we'll see what goes on there, but we'll work on it from there. And of course, in my eyes, Matt, and I want to get your views here. Oil had what we would call a reversal pattern last week, and I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. They made new highs on Thursday and then closed on their lows of the day, and then were a little bit lower again on Friday. And we're down at 68.06. I know you had a target. I can't remember if it was rising or declining, but it was like 70. What's your looks at oil here?
Yeah, it's actually rising. And right now it's at $70.90. So, and it rises by about 5 cents a day. So that's my target now. I mean, we've broken past resistance. I don't really see a reason why we at this point we wouldn't make it. So I think $70.90 plus 5 cents a day would be my target to the upside.
Okay, so but are you still short oil?
Yeah, still short oil. It's a long term trade for me. It's a long term play. Right. It's not something I would do on a trading basis. It's just fundamentally, fundamentals isn't totally my thing, but I do think oil is long-term dead, and I want to be in on that trade. It's one of the reasons why I am long silver. I really think silver has a long-term, good, great future, and I think the opposite about oil. But just talking about the technicals, I think the 70 $70.90 is my target up, but yeah, I am still short and just taking the punishment on the way up here.
Right, and I know in the TLT you had a long term lower target and also a higher target. We're kind of in the middle, if I remember last week when we talked about it. And of course, the bonds, the futures got pounded last week, and of course, pushing the 10-year near 2.96. What do you see from here? I mean, TLT's at around 118.5. Do you see it going? Is it going to meet? I think your target in the downside is 110.
Yeah, on the downside, it's a rising target, but it's currently at 111 now. So if it continues to fall, and it doesn't have to go much lower, then I'm looking at 111 as a place to buy and look for a bounce to the upside. We have significant declining resistance coming in at still around 130, just above 130. And, when I'm looking at the 10-year rate, I'm seeing we're right on the edge of breaking. I mean, we're right at prior highs on the 10-year rate. And that looks like it's just about to break out, but it hasn't done it yet. It goes a little bit higher, and I think it's gone. I think it will, it will really push higher. Which is, it's kind of interesting. That means obviously when the rates go up, the bonds go down, and the commercials are pretty heavily long the 10-year futures. So they'll lose out on that position, on their long position in 10-year futures.
But that's only a yield play anyway. So, I mean, I can understand that. But it looks like if I look at the 10-year, we're, at 119.5, which takes us all the way back to about 2011. And, of course, it looks like we're getting to the point to, we could actually go all the way back farther. I mean, we are at key spots, and it continues to look like it wants to break lower. And I think that, interest rates themselves – forget about the manipulation from the Fed and Powell and everybody else, but I think that the free market system, the bond traders are saying, well, we have to have higher interest rates, and they're kind of just pushing down these futures, which obviously puts rates higher. And of course, LIBOR is going crazy, and I think that you're going to see this is the problem when you don't have the true free markets that we talk, you and I talk about. This is the problem when you have people in the middle of it manipulating the market. This is what usually gets created out of it, which is going to be a mess when it's all said and done. And I personally expect the 10 to go well over 3%. And I know this is not part of your technical trading part of it, but I think when we get, once we hit and close over 3% in the 10, I think that will take a lot of money out of the equity market, because there are so many people in the equities that don't want to be there, that are in there only because they're chasing yield. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's very true. And, you know, I don't bring it up every time we talk, but, you know, my ultimate target in a 10-year rate is 11%. So I don't know that, unfortunately, I don't know the exact timing of when that'll happen. I have a massive pattern that, you know, goes back 50 years. It's the biggest pattern I have. It's what, you know, helped me determine when the rates would bottom in 2016. And the minimum target of that pattern, which has held beautifully, is 11%. It's just a question of how long will it take. So it doesn't help on a very short-term basis, but it does tell us that, generally speaking, you know, 10-year rate is going a lot higher. And, you know, look, this probably gets into a much longer conversation, but if you imagine the 10-year rate in double digits, I mean, our country is bankrupt. Look, our country, everybody knows the math does not work for our country's debt, $20 trillion. If we just went to, and that's just what's on the, you know, obviously on the books. If we went to interest rates we had just in the year 2000, then, you know, the amount we would pay on, we have about 3.5 million.
We'd be broke. I got the picture.
We'd be broke.
So the last question for you today is, does the dollar has once again bounced off the bottom and is now trying to push to the upside? I think that 91 is the key level on the dollar index. Do we finally break out this week? I mean, I know you're looking for the dollar to go higher. Is this, I know you can't pinpoint it, but is this the week? It looks to me like this could be the week we break out.
It very well could. I don't have a short enough pattern to tell whether. In fact, I can draw one right as we speak. I can't say that it's broken out yet, but I would agree with you about 91. There's definitely a resistance rising line there, right at 91 at the present time. If we get above 91, you could say goodbye to it. It's going to go more to the upside.
That's what I say. I say 91.95 and over a buck. I say my prediction is this year it's par before the year's over. But this is The Bubba Show with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and, of course, myself, Todd Bubba Horwitz at BubbaTrading.com. And, of course, don't forget to download the show each and every day at LibertyTalk.fm. And, of course, don't forget our high school program. Looking for some help from our friends at Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And that will do it for today. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure to share information with everybody here. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station.
Quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.